I sat quietly behind the desk in the temple office, blowing on my hands to keep them warm as I pored over the thick ledgers that Reevy had prepared the previous day, making sure nothing had been left out. It was a routine we had established sometime after Spat's involuntary disappearance and Hurricane's hard-fought mission to keep its status among the Tribal Guild. It was hard to believe nearly 2 years had passed since Prince Dakaran had shown up with a fake copy of his father's signet to save us. There were still times I found myself chuckling when I recalled the looks on the other chiefs' faces when they saw the royal guard march into the guild hall. That moment changed everything for us. Hurricane was no longer viewed as the outcast. We were still just as hated by Kor and Cutter as ever, even more so with my newly acquired friendship with the prince. But we no longer had to fear, every time we sent out our pickers, that they might not return. Closing the leather-bound book, I set the quill back in the jar and stretched, finding my eyes had grown weary from staring at all of Reevy's figures. There were records for incoming food and provisions, records for outgoing food and provisions, records for new recruits, records tabulating the month's pickings, projections for what we would need the following month, records to show the ever-changing number of our members and the stations they'd been assigned to. There were lists for the watchers, for the pickers, for the cleaners, beaters, fixers, and even one for the guard. Each of these lists gave a tally by name, along with any reassignments that had occurred over the course of the previous month. There were inventory records including medical supplies and herbs, weapons, clothing, bedding, food stores, cleaning utensils, and everyday items like candles and the stash of apples Reevy kept hidden somewhere inside the infirmary. Who knew running a tribe of street kids could be so difficult? By the time I finished mulling over each and every column, I was ready to take a nap or go join a travelling band of troubadours. Yawning, I pushed my chair away from the desk just as the door to the office burst open and Mouse came running in, looking more worried than I'd seen him since the day I'd brought Tubby home. He was panting, hands on his knees, and barely able to catch his breath. "What is it?" I asked. "Has something happened to the pickers?" Ever since our excursion into the rock slide compound to rescue our people from Kor, Mouse had been unofficially labelled the head of the pickers. They all looked up to him, even though he stood a head or two shorter than the rest. His charismatic leadership and talent for getting in and out of confined spaces without being spotted had earned him his place, not to mention greatly increased the tribe's coffers.
"It's Master Fenton and Mistress Orilla,"
Mouse managed between gasps of breath.
"What? Are they all right? Did something happen to the orphanage?"
After Lord Garrick had sent his men to destroy Master Fenton's bookshop following my midnight raid of Garrick's home, the king had ordered him to pay for the damages, including a rather hefty additional sum as a reprimand and warning against any further action. However, instead of rebuilding, Master Fenton and Mistress Orilla had decided to put the funds to better use and opened an orphanage to help keep as many children off the streets as possible by finding them good homes. It had worked surprisingly well. Too well, in fact. Ever since its opening, there had been a noted decrease in tribal recruitment, and more than one workhouse had already voiced their complaints about a lack of raw labour. The worst of those was Master Silforan's workhouse, where they were known to treat their workers with the same respect as they did their animals, little rations and a long switch.
"I'm not sure what's happened,"
Mouse said, his breathing finally stable enough for him to speak in full sentences.
"I think they're in trouble. Bull told me to get you and be quick about it."
Bull, the former avalanche beater who'd been rejected by his own tribe because of injuries sustained during battle, was now the head of the Hurricane Guard, which was a position of respect in the tribe. Those who wished to be on tribe's guard normally had to undergo a test of skill in the pit. Once every 6 months, the tribes would get together to hold combat trials, letting their warriors try out for the privilege of wearing the coveted black vest.